Hi, we're Drs. Philip and Jane Mountrose, co-directors of Awakenings Institute in Napomo, California. You're listening to the audio here of Keys to Becoming Your Own Spiritual Coach and Guide. Pioneers in energy healing and spiritual growth, we're devoted to helping people live their life purpose. We do this through our books, such as the recent one, Manifesting Your Dreams with EFT, SK, and more. High-quality holistic healing and spiritual counselor home study certification courses, and our popular free e-newsletter, The Soul News, at getting thru thru.org. And today we'll discuss with our group here the five keys to becoming your own spiritual guide and coach. First, let me share our dream with you. Awakening's dream. Imagine a world where unconditional love is the guiding force, where the unique gifts that each individual brings receive honor and respect, where all are nurtured in allowing their gifts to blossom, to manifest the joy of being in each moment. Imagine a world where all of nature is also honored, so all may live in harmony and share an increasingly vibrant and beautiful environment. What we imagine we can create starting today. This vibrant world will come into being as each of us empowers ourselves to live in the dream now and share it with others. Playing a part in the creation of this dream is the mission of Awakenings. So today we're talking about becoming your own spiritual coach, also I guess your spiritual guide, and we're welcoming everyone here. And we want to explore this subject from a couple different angles today, how you can participate more in your spiritual life, and also just to get a sense of the big picture that we're here. And that's what I was often missing, the big picture. And when you see the big picture, when you go up to the mountaintop, then everything is a lot clearer, as we know. And then we'll do a little bit of soul centering, talk about oracles and dreams, and have some fun.
So I'm going to start by putting a little diagram on the board. This is the world according to Philip and Jane.
Yes. Philip and Jane Mountrose, co-directors of Awakenings Institute in Napomo, California.
Actually, what I'm going to do is just do a quick diagram of what we see as the spiritual path. So we all start out, there's a creator here. The creator, you know, some people call the creator God, the infinite, whatever relates to you. This is not a religious thing. And we all come down from the creator. We go down through many levels of reality. And we end up way down here. There's gingerbread man. And in the process of coming down, we lose a lot of our awareness of our true identities. And the path, the reason we come here, is to wake up to who we are and to return to the oneness. So right in here, when we go into what we call 3D here, the third dimension, there is a veiling that happens, which does where we forget all of our past lives and everything about ourselves other than what is in this current lifetime. And we start with a conscious mind that in many people may be as little as some people estimate, 5% of the totality of who they are. So when we start out, we're largely unconscious of our true identities. And what we're wanting to do is to come back to break through the veil and start to connect with what we would call the soul and the higher self, which exists at different levels of creation. So when you first make contact, you would connect with your higher self here, and gradually, as you evolve, you're connecting higher and higher until you have a direct connection again with God. So does anybody have any questions or comments on that? Just as an idea.
That doesn't mean you can't have a direct connection with God, of course, at any moment. Just through the more and more conscious, there's more parts of you that are connected. You're more deeply present.
Right. And people, I think, to me, there is kind of a ceiling to the level of energy that people are, to connect with, are able to connect with. Some people can't go all the way up to there. And some people feel very comfortable. I think part of it is our belief, too, of what's possible. But to us, what we realized, and we started, Philip and I met each other in the 70s, 1970s, and we actually were in a spiritual group together where there was a leader who had all the wisdom, you know, of the universe, and everybody else responded to what, to his picture. And after about 10 years, we started questioning, well, if he can connect, why can't we? And it took a long time. It seems like we were pretty slow at the time. But once, when that question occurred to us, it led us on a wonderful journey of finding out how you can do that for yourself. And we recognized that everybody has that ability. And that, in fact, that's our birthright, is to connect with our own divine source, to understand why we're here, and to manifest, you know, our spirit, to bring spirit fully into form. And I personally think that this is an especially important time to do that. But I think, you know, there are a lot of people talking about 2012 and all the things that have been leading to this time. And there are a lot of us who feel, we feel a pulling to do something. And I just can't think that it's a coincidence, or that we would be feeling that if there wasn't really a reason for it.
Well, it seems like the idea that we're becoming more cohesive as an organism. All of us, the world is becoming one organism. And the internet is a metaphor, even, and it's also connecting us. So what one person says in another part of the world, we can find out about most instantaneously. And the good news is that I think a lot of people who are more open-minded spiritually seeking are able to connect and get the word out, so it's not as controlled and as limited as it was just a few years ago. And if it keeps exponentially growing, the idea that is, where could it be in just a few years? And where were we a few years ago before email? That was just a few years ago. So the possibilities are really staggering. We may look back to this talk today and say, well, remember the old days.
The old days.
We're just beginning to think that we could all connect and be telepathic or bilocate or whatever we're going to be doing after 2012 or whenever.
Do you guys have a feeling about 2012? How do you perceive that? There are a lot of people feel it's going to be some cataclysmic physical thing.
Well, we can just spend a couple minutes on it, because I think it's really, to us it seems very relevant for the things that are happening right now. And my sense of it, and Philip and I aren't necessarily one person either, we're going basically in the same direction, but we don't have a speech for everything that we both agree to. What I feel is that those of us who are moving on to a positive path, which involves connecting more with love and to helping others and being connected with that sense of unity, that we're going to experience more of that. And those who are not, who are feeling separate and in fear, are going to experience more of that. That it's not just one reality, and that possibly at some point, if there is actually some kind of a dimensional shift, that there will be a separation of those two poles. And so both may be true, depending on the person. But I don't feel, personally, for myself, I'm not at all afraid of terrible things happening. I don't feel that that's what's going to happen. I think it's going to be a wonderful thing. And I've always wanted to levitate. And I thought, wow, wouldn't that be great? You just take off and go anywhere you want. You'd get to your yoga class much faster.
No ticketing.
And it may happen where we're just, it's sort of like I was saying earlier, we turn around and so much has changed in such a short period of time, it's almost a completely different world and we don't realize we're in a different world. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the feeling I get. It's not like we wake up and, oh, wow, the trees are a different color or something. It's just things have been changing very dramatically but subtly, but in a short period of time relative to history. And of course, with all the strange weather things and the turmoil on the world scene, it seems to be preparing us also for dramatic change, too.
I think all these weather changes and different, I mean, you know, the wars and everything that is going on out there, I think people are beginning to understand and perceive that we all need to change inside, you know, to be able to make the shift into a new reality.
Simply put, I think people are realizing now more obviously that fear doesn't work. Been working for a long time and failing, but now it's just like, wait a second, this is not working at all. And then they're saying, maybe I need to turn more toward the low.
And the key part of it for each of us is to understand who we are, to start poking more and more through that veil and realizing how magnificent we are. I was listening to an audio yesterday, and I haven't confirmed this. The fellow was saying that Albert Einstein was considered to be incorrigibly stupid when he was in school. Mm-hmm. And have any of you heard this before?
Yeah.
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 And I thought it's so interesting because all of us, if you think of Einstein, you think, well, he was a genius, mm-hmm. right? Well, each of us is a genius in our own way. And what we want to do is to find that genius in us. And that's what we're, right now, I just feel it's so important for us to bring that fully into our lives and to manifest it in the world. So what we want to do is recognize what our gifts are and why we're here and get, you know, just go about making it happen. And I think how many people here feel drawn to that? You know, just mm-hmm. out of curiosity. So, you know, there's got to be a reason why we feel that way. It can't just mm-hmm. be biological. It doesn't feel biological. Drawn to finding out why we're here and actually doing it. You know, that we know we have a purpose and we know that there's something we're here to do. And it's important. It's not just a, like a passing fancy, maybe on Saturday I'll think about it or something, or talk with my friends about it. It's something that's like a compelling need.
Some urgency to it.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And that's what I feel. That's one thing I feel that makes me think 2012 may be happening. Because Thorpe and I, just in our particular situation, we've been busy developing programs and doing these things for years and years. And last year we finished our book, Manifesting Your Dreams with EFT. And I was thinking, wow. Just why don't we just take some time off, you know, and take it easy? And my guidance is just not going for it. It's just not happening. And the message I keep getting is that it's an important time. It's too important. You can't just stop now. Mm-hmm. There's no time for rest right now.
So everyone knows, yes, we all have strengths and gifts. That's common knowledge. But how much do we really take that in? That means we have things that we're very good at that we've developed and been given. And are we using that? How much are we using that? How much are we owning that? Well, we take it for granted. Well, of course, I'm very good at that. I like that. If only I could, maybe I'm good at that. But, well, that's kind of like a gift that's been given to us in a way. We have a responsibility if we want to fully express ourselves and really use ourselves for this coming change. So it's incumbent upon us to really say, wow, I am unique. I do have the genius role. I'm really unique. Well, wait a second. This is something you know you're good at. And only you, with your unique experiences and combinations of who you are and description that would you can be you. So you have a unique, powerful offering to develop and whenever it's great to share.
So the next step in developing that as an idea is that then it becomes a responsibility. You know, I'm responsible for myself and for to make this a reality for myself. And so how do I do it? And that's the next part that we want to talk about. And I don't know if you want to write the things, just write the items on the board as I go through them. Connection with your own divine truth. And there was a time, we've studied many, many things over the years, and we studied intuition, and we started doing intuitive readings. And we would tell people what we were perceiving about them, and it just, to me, became very unsatisfying, because the important thing to me is what you perceive about yourself. It doesn't matter what I perceive about you. And I may be right, but if you don't see it yourself, it's not worth anything. And I may be wrong, and if you just believe me, that's not good either. So the basis of everything that Philip and I do is to help people to connect with that own source of divine truth within themselves, which we call the soul. And it doesn't, even that, you know, we don't want anybody to get hung up on terminology. If a person isn't really formally spiritual and doesn't believe in the soul, that doesn't matter either. You know, it can be what a person calls their infinite intelligence or whatever. It's just that truth within yourself. And so we were fortunate, actually, it was around 1985, I think, when we started going out and actively seeking to connect with our own divine truth, and as synchronicity would have it, we were led to some people who taught us a process we call soul singing that we use, and we're going to, the people who had our courses here are all aware of all of this and have done it. And there'll be new, I think, for the rest of you, although maybe you've done something similar too. But it just completely changed my life when I learned that. I'll never forget. At that time, I was not that excited about my life, and I wouldn't really be all that crazy about getting up in the morning. But when I learned soul centering, I would get up every morning, usually at 4:30, 5:30, something like that. I would be so excited about it that I couldn't wait to get up, and that was in the late 80s, and I'm still doing it. I'm still getting up at 4:30 or 5. And in fact, I can't wait to share what I got this morning, because I asked for some stuff that would relate to our gathering today, and I'm just really excited about that. So that it hasn't become any less interesting for me over all these years. And it has connected me, I believe, with my own truth, and it has answered all my questions and made me feel much more comfortable being me. And through that, we view that connection to be in the heart. You know, that what your heartfelt joy. And it's interesting if you just point to yourself, like everybody just put down whatever you're holding and point to yourself. What does everybody point to? You know, and I think that's so fascinating, because we associate ourselves with this, but nobody says, you know, and if somebody did that, doesn't that seem strange? Yeah. You know, it's like, so your heartfelt joy is your purpose. And that's the next thing, is once you make that connection, all you have to do is ask in your heart, what would be the most exciting and wonderful thing I could possibly be doing? And that's your purpose.
That's a really good question.
Yeah, and that's worth journaling about too, and just asking yourself, and how does this relate to life? And also realizing that you're multidimensional and there's more than one thing you're going to be excited about. But usually there's one big thing maybe that's helping society, and then there are things like me, I do art projects, that's joyful for me, and we have our dogs, and we go, you know, we do our walks, and those are all joyful things.
So connecting with your soul and discovering your life purpose is number two.
Right.
And this is very practical stuff, and it's not new, probably, to anyone here. But what might be new is how can I practically apply this? What does this mean? What would this translate into this week or tomorrow?
Right away. Yeah.
And so it's, but when you start translating it and actually building your life around this, that's when amazing things happen.
Yeah. And then the next thing about that is it may not feel like it's complete. Mm-hmm. And that's the part where you need to be going more through that veil and clearing out all the blockages that are in the way of you fully experiencing yourself as being divine and magnificent. And that, to us, is an integral part of the path to be actively dealing with blockages.
So number three, clear blockages. And this is not like a one-step deal. All of this is an ongoing, really lifelong process.
Right, it's a journey. Yeah.
So relationship with your own truth, connecting with your soul, discovering your purpose, and cleaning blockages.
Right. And then consciously recognizing that this reality, you know, this 3D reality that we can touch and feel isn't so real as we think it is. That it's actually a reflection of something even larger that's happening in other dimensions that's reflecting down here, and to start to connect with that as much as possible during the day. Actually, speaking and going back to the 2012 and everything, Philip and I have been reading and exploring information from a person named David Wilcox. I don't know if any of you, how many of you are familiar with David Wilcox. He's supposed to be the reincarnation of Edgar Casey.
Oh, yeah.
And he, one of the things that he said that I think is just so wonderful to recognize is that each day of each of our lives is being specifically designed, you know, from a higher place to be the optimal condition for us to learn what we need to know right now. So if we're able to look beyond just the physical or, you know, kind of a 3D perspective, there's synchronously a whole lot of stuff that's happening probably around us every day that has the potential. We may be getting messages, and there may be messages coming to us, flying at us all over the place all day that we're not even grasping because we're not viewing things multidimensionally. So the fourth part for us is experiencing our reality as being multidimensional, which is really about relating to synchronicity and seeing how, you know, if something seems like a coincidence, maybe it's not. And that those things are happening all the time in just really miraculous ways. And we can actively affect them too, mm-hmm. by asking for messages. You know, asking for our reality to show us things, and from my experience, if you ask, it happens. And I think that if you ever wondered if the miraculous is possible, that's a really easy way to validate it.
I asked for a sign the other day at Sacramento that was this class on the right track. Was what I asked. I said I would like a sign where I stopped in front of a stop light. And I'm looking all around, and she was like, I said, I don't see a sign. Now it just probably come later. And then I was actually very close to a sign in the middle of the curb that said, no left or U-turn. It was actually so close to me that I almost missed it. So I was thinking, I was on the right track.
To me, doing that also helps to make the things that we take so seriously about, you know, the 3D events in our lives, it makes them much easier to look at lightly because there's so much more happening. And I just from where we've been so far, does anybody have any just experiences they want to share or about the soul centering or synchronicity, just any of the things that we've talked about experiencing reality from a different perspective?
I don't know what you guys, what your process is for soul centering, but mine is meditation, and I belong to a guru-based path.
Mm-hmm.
And when I miss even one session, I don't feel right. I feel like I'm unfit to go out into the 3D world.
Yeah.
And I can tell that mm-hmm. I'm completely disconnected when I do not touch in.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I touch in, even if it's for 5 minutes, I think even for 1 minute, I feel connected to
mm-hmm.
the Creator.
Yeah.
So, for me it's just a very fast, can be very fast.
Right. Yeah, and it actually is, it isn't difficult. And I think if you can just feel positive and breathe energy into your heart, the energy shifts very quickly. We measure it sometimes in our classes using dowsing rods or pendulums, and the energy will shift right away. And that's something you can do any time, any minute, I mean any moment, any instant. You
yeah.
can breathe love into your heart, and what's going to do is it's going to open your soul's energy more into your immediate experience.
It's like you're always fighting with what's real. You get so pulled out in the 3D world, the nature, this Maya we live in, that you begin to think, that's real.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get those little touches back in, you go, oh, wait a minute, no.
Right.
That's real from the standpoint of you being in that, and spirits everywhere, but, you and your relationship with God is, that's the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, crazy making. So when you get too far out of your in stressful conditions or whatever, and you get too far out there, and you'll get back to your center.
Well, and that's what the path is really about, is about how quickly can you come back when you get off, or how often do you come back? I can remember when I was much younger, around in the 70s when folks and I first met. One of the main things, the goal of the group was to be in the present moment. Unfortunately, they didn't give you real good tools to do it, so it was like, you were kind of there.
struggling
to stay present. Not realizing what we've realized later is that the more you can clear the blockages, what you're doing is you're bringing back parts of yourself to your wholeness. The more you can do that, the more you just gravitate to the present moment. But I can remember at that time I would go whole days and I would think, I forgot all about it all day today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of it, that happens. But I think the more that you focus on it, then the quicker you come back.
I had an everyday but synchronous moment the other day. I have gone a few times to the Church of Religious Science, down here in Florida Bay. And I had met this gal there that was, I really enjoyed, and we had met for coffee a few times. And then our schedules we just couldn't get together. And then we were invited, this church, everybody was invited to this cinema night. Well, I hadn't ever been. I hadn't been to that church for, 6 or 7 months. Hadn't seen this gal for that long. And I didn't really know. They had changed locations. I didn't know where the senior center in Oceano was. And so I kind of saw a sign and then I thought, I just don't see it. And there was a car behind me, a little red car. And I thought, I bet that person is going to the same thing I am. I don't know what made me think that. And so I saw the car pull in this place. Sure enough, it was a senior center. And I pulled in right next to this car, and it was this gal I hadn't seen for so long. And it was like, it was just so neat. And she had no idea that I would be there. I had never been ever before. But it had crossed her mind. In fact, she got out this book that was mind broken. She wanted to return it to me, and she'd gotten it out and said it. So you just know that things are happening.
Yeah. And life is miraculous.
Yeah.
You know, when you can see that.
Yeah.
It really is amazing.
Inner promptings all the time, and it's really just a matter of following it.
I really picked up on something you said too about asking. I really feel the power of asking for help or asking for, you know, a message or something is, for me, I forget most of the time to do that. But when I ask, I always, without exception, get an answer. If I'm sensitive enough to remember that I asked a question and that there will be an answer, and maybe it'll be subtle, but it will be there.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, like you said, miraculous. Because I think you do need to ask.
Well, that's part of free will, that we come down, we have free will, we can stay, if we want to stay just wallowing in the mud in fear and separation and misery, they'll leave us there, you know, we can do that. That's our free will.
We can have what we want.
And if we ask for help, and we ask to be given more information about something or whatever, we get that too. We do have, and I think we have to ask. If you don't ask it, you know, we can't expect that we're going to receive it without, because of the free will aspect of it.
Kind of question for you, Jane. When you say ask, that kind of implies, you know, formulating a question and this kind of thing. And for me, it's been more a matter of the match game, of the match the feelings you have inside of what you want. So, for instance, if you want an answer about something, and something good, something you want to have, then to me it's more of a feeling from inside of giving verification of feeling time. Like match game more than a question game. So I guess that's a personal thing.
Yeah.
It's just to what's your style.
Right. Right. Because we all, we experience our reality through our five physical senses, and also we have, you know, energetic equivalents, higher senses that we're experiencing. Everybody has their own way. So whatever your way is, that is definitely your way.
It seems like that. But
I'll just say, you know, I will ask. That's just what I do. You know, I'll say, please guide me on this, or find me a parking space, or, you know, whatever it is.
Into the really important thing. Parking space.
You know, those parking spaces. Well, it works, you know. I want to know how to connect with my soul, and by the way, I need a parking space.
I'm trying to figure that out.
Can you help me, please?
Or if you think a positive thought, like, you know, you go in and you know that the parking lot's going to be crowded, but if you believe that there's going to be a space waiting there right for you when it tends to happen, as opposed to when you're thinking, oh gosh, Jack, it's going to be really hard to find a parking
space. Right, then it is, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and that's kind of a small thing, but you just start doing that with everything, and then eventually the big things are like that too.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to start with the small
thing. Yeah, you want some validation, and it's always nice to get some validation, especially if you're feeling uncertain. I remember one time last year I was very uncertain about a big change in my life, and I said, well, if this is really the way it is, you're going to have to show me. You've got to show me now. It was like, you know, this is enough of this. Please show me now. And it happened right away in a miraculous way.
And sometimes things don't happen either as soon as we want or the way we want, just because we need to learn something or it's coming in a different form. So keep that in mind. So we're moving on to the soul centering, the experience that some of us have had, and this is just a direct way, a simple little visualization process to connect with your soul.
As a note, I did want to mention that this is our way, and we're not saying it's the only way. You know, if you have a way that works for you, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. But this is what we learned, and it really has been effective for us. And so this is what we're sharing.
Well, for other people who've done it, it seems to work very well. It's direct and it's effective, and you get results with it. So the results are you get to know your own soul. I mean, if you're confused, that might mean that you're not soul. And we all get confused at the end, so that's fine. But you want to get to that point where you do get the guidance, and sometimes you may need to be patient to have things play themselves out that may be the guidance. So if we close our eyes and become comfortable for a moment, sometimes...
And what are we going to do it? Do they want to have a pad so they can get a message?
Yes, if you do get a message and want to write one down, that's fine. That may be a good idea. And sometimes there's sort of an automatic writing effect that once you start writing, the messages pour out even more. And I'm sure some of you have had that kind of experience before.
Yeah, there's one more and there's a pad there too.
And this is something you can do, as Jane and I would say, as a regular basis, as part of any meditation you have, or just whenever you want to connect. And the idea is the energy becomes entrained within you, so you can basically do it whenever. You don't have to actually wait for this special little soul-centering meditation time. But you know kind of then what is a soulful orientation, what is not, and how to return to where we're going, hopefully not. Okay, so if you close your eyes and relax and just breathe, and just let some calm, relaxing breaths in a way that's just right for you come through your whole body, exhaling, releasing what you no longer need. And as you feel your feet on the floor, which is just a little signal to be grounded, knowing that you can bring in whatever you need in just the right way for you now into your being. As you become more centered in your heart, breathing in there, relaxing, exhaling what you no longer need. Good. As you continue to feel more present in your heart, just allowing a sense of openness, expansiveness, acceptance to come through your whole body, all around you. Know that you can even open up further above your head, more consciously connecting with your higher self and God, the source, and everything, just inviting that in more consciously, that energy that's always there, into your energy field, into your aura, into every cell with the perfect love and balance and healing for you. And as you're feeling this go through your entire being, it may be rather subtle, but perhaps profound, and it may be an energy, a knowing, a sense, a feeling, maybe a picture or a visualization may be coming to you of this experience, of this connection. It could be some words, too, and it could be a combination. Color, also a higher geometric, you know, vibratory rate can be coming as well. So as we've been speaking on being your own spiritual coach from this place where you are now, you can first just ask or get a sense of what is it like to be your own spiritual coach, this energy here that's coaching you. What's it telling you? You can invite any answer and just be open to anything. It may be rather subtle at first or maybe very clear. If you want to make a note of it, you can.
And as you're asking, just keep breathing energy into your heart, opening to more of that soulful wisdom.
Just being with it. And you can also ask about your life purpose, if there's anything that you'd like to ask regarding that. What is your life purpose? How are you doing on it? It's not a pass or fail question. You may get some insights into what you're here to do. What are you here to do, which is really your life purpose, is why am I here, what am I doing on this planet? And you may get some insights as well. if you want to ask any final questions or any other clarifications or something else you've been curious about, you can do so as well. Make a note of those.
Thank you.
Thank you. Knowing that you can return to this more soul-centered place at any time, and becoming your soulful coach can be a way of life, not just a matter of putting it into practice, and it becomes very natural and powerful and fun. And the synchronicities of life reflect that back to you as you become more aware of them. So whenever you're ready, you can thank your higher self, your soul, and you can open your eyes, and if you want to make any notes or notations from the questions about your life purpose, and synchronicity, becoming your own spiritual coach, you can do so. And you can return to this process whenever you choose.
Myself.
The soul-centering process.
Yeah, the soul-centering process. I listened to an audio of it from another person, obviously, for a period of time that really helped me. But just doing that every day and really just breathing into the heart and feeling that energy all around me, it made a huge difference for me. And still does. Yeah, it's very simple. Yeah. And again, you can, anytime you feel disconnected, you know, just you can focus on grounding a little bit and breathing energy into your heart, and it changes things right away.
So this is how you become intimate with your soul, one way you can. And one lady who did it at first had a problem, and some people started and seems very difficult, or like, quote, nothing is happening, although something may be happening very subtly. And it was like a little flicker, a little match for her, and after doing it regularly, it became a big flame, like a torch. So it's a good metaphor. The more you do it, you go, wow, you know, I'm feeling like I'm so connected to energy, and like I'm not, and I need to get back to that place.
If you feel irritated, is it likely that there may be some kind of blockage?
Sure.
In that?
If you feel irritated when you breathe into your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Process.
Yeah, because the heart is really, we see the heart as being the seat of the soul and the body. And it also obviously relates to love, mm-hmm. and love of yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you're not connecting, there's probably something about loving yourself that needs to be cleared to make the connection. And if you just, you can ask yourself what it is that might work for you. Just connect and ask yourself what's happening. Just write anything that comes out. You know, just say, I want to know. You know, I want to know what's hurting you. Let it come out.
Dialogue that goes along with mm-hmm. resistance. Mm-hmm. If you are aware of the dialogue, that's the one that you can
mm-hmm. I wasn't irritated today. Yeah. But I
right. Yeah, and sure. That does happen, and it's good to make note of that,
yeah.
Because it is a factor, and if you, well, for people like us who are working with other people, if you do that, and you're, or even with a friend, you know, say, well, I learned this wonderful process, and you do it together, and they, you know, they start crying or something, then it's point to yourself. This is, you know, if people say, I was really touched, where do they touch themselves? In their heart. You know, I really feel for you, and they're holding my heart.
So this becoming your spiritual coach idea that we wrote on the board, the relationships of your truth, discovering your purpose, clearing the blocks, that does seem to be a part of it, and we do the EFT and spiritual kinesiology and other related processes, and there's many other things out there, but it seems to be part of it.
It doesn't. A lot of times if you really focus on overcoming a fear or something, it might work. But the deeper blockages, they just don't go away by themselves. And even we've done processes like working with people who've meditated for 10 or 20 years, and they still have, you know, they might have, like I remember Philip mentioning one woman who was in a business and her partner deceived her and the whole thing fell apart, and 10 years later, she'd been meditating every day and still had felt terrible. But the just whatever her method was, and I don't know, I'm not criticizing meditation for what it is, but if meditation alone is not working, you may need more. And that 10 minutes, and her blockage was gone after 10 years of suffering. So it really is worth just bringing those things out and getting rid of them, because, you know, you become lighter and lighter as you do it.
Philip and I were talking about that earlier. I know a lot of people in meditation have. I'm not really a great meditator. I'm, you know, fairly restless spirit. But I know a lot of people who meditate something like 4 hours a day. And it almost becomes a distraction from the emotional blockages or issues that are the hardest.
A way to get away from actually being in the world, you know, whereas what we've been talking about is being yourself, but being fully yourself in the world.
Yeah. You have to do both. Moment. I mean, I think meditation is really valuable.
Oh, me too.
I think you have to do both.
Right. And it makes such a big difference. It's kind of like, well, do I want to carry this, you know, this big, heavy backpack with me for another year, or do I want to take it off today and get rid of it forever? It's a choice.
I want to get rid of mine now. Right now.
We're leaving them here.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. We're going to everybody leaves and you all feel great. The energy in the house. I don't know what happened.
For this group, it makes a lot of sense. And it really, once it's laid out, this, what we're talking about, it's seems to make the most sense in the world. It's just a matter of following through and doing it. And it really simply means wherever your life is not working, there's probably some stuff trying to teach you something. And we all have those areas and have them and will. So that's, I need to find something out. I have got a roadblock there. I need to find out what's created. It's not maybe a permanent problem or a flaw.
I instantly saw, I don't know if people talk about their experiences or not, but since I did that, I saw this, my top of my head open up in this stack of, looked like yellow chakras, this bright yellow light. And it was like...
For the soul centering?
Yeah, and it was seven different, looked like petals opening. And then I thought about, what is that? What is that? Is that flowers? I think it's like chakras or something.
Interesting.
But I don't think I don't even really need to put a, you know...
A label on it?
No, it's just sort of like this, like petals. And I instantly felt like crying. So between the color and whatever it was a very
so you're getting a higher dimensional picture. And sometimes it goes beyond our conventional language and rational understanding, too. But it's still communicating to us. And maybe some others could share about their little soul centering process or questions and guidance they receive.
Or people who have been in our classes, maybe some of your experiences. And Philip and I, and Linda Erlin, we do our Master Spirit Community together, and we do the soul centering a lot. How's that been for you?
It's been wonderful. I can really connect with what you said earlier. To not have that in the day is like worse than not working. And I have been trying a lot of things that were simply because of interest in everything. A lot of things that were a lot more mechanical, things that have to do with sound meditation and qigong and those kinds of things. But I think for the transition right now, and I think we're all kind of talking about there is an intensity of energy that is building that all of us sense. I think that everyone in here feels like they're on full volume, whatever you want to call them, and that just before you shift into that next, and Jane has a better way of describing that than I do, just before you shift and make that final shift into the next octave, isn't that what you call the thing, an octave?
Could be. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
but my my picture of this that I have in my mind is that when there are quantum leaps in consciousness that manifest individually and therefore collectively, I remember there was a movie called The Living Desert. It was one of the first time photography that we did.
Mm-hmm. I do.
And all of the flowers, it was about flowers coming to
yeah.
Every flower, yeah. Before it bloomed, would contract.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that, yeah. For myself, I feel that contraction, and I think about what Philip was talking about, blockages, is that those blockages come like right here. You know, so there is this sense of whether they call it the dark night or of facing our fears.
Right.
You know, and when and so we look and it's like having to say, what is in this movie that I've been buying into that makes things seem so fearful? You know, what is it, you know, where am I putting my attention and giving power to? So, for me, you know, it has been, it hasn't made things easier. You know that I'm doing something very, very, very important. But I feel like I'm cooking with gas.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
It was just this,
yeah, it isn't it. You know, there is something that needs to shift inside of me, and there's a part of me that wants to hold on. It's just like stepping off of a cliff and having a... You know, where is this going to take me? So I think when you talk about that whole 2012 thing, is that we have a feeling that every institution, every belief system that the human race has held on to that no longer serves its higher purpose, it's like right here. You know, and are we going to give it, let that, are we going to say, this is our reality, and give it up? Because it's so intense.
Drop your backpacks and move.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like deal.
Yeah,
deal.
Right.
That you can move.
Yeah, because it does become more and more joyful as you go along, too. It's not like you just keep wallowing and hitting more and more obstacles.
Yeah, there's something that we, or like to say to myself, that I need to let go of, you know, and it's, or that I need to see in a different light.
And that's why we're all here to help each other.
Yeah.
Would anyone like to share any of the guidance or a message they got around? That might be interesting too. And the meditation is just good.
I got an immediate one that you are saved with God. And then I got, you are being watched, guided, and you're watching. And I got two from that. My higher self, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the love, the incredible love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got to focus on the good things that are happening and not bad things.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on, like, you know, this kind of thing.
Right.
You know, and when you do, you realize how much of it's going on. I mean, it's just in every corner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is remarkable to sit here on a Saturday afternoon discussing these incredible
things
and thoughts. And, I mean, you know, I could be home. What would I be doing?
Thinking about that. When you said that, you're right. I could be reading CNN News or whatever.
Well, I think we've shared with most of you that Philip and I feel that having opportunities to be together with like-minded people is so important, even to us. We do this. This is our living, and we're immersed in it every day. But having a community is really important to us.
For me, I got a kind of a new reinforcement of what we've been talking about with the training someone with disability, which is to ask the positive questions that are really important for me, to ask the positive questions for myself, like, what is so great about your life? What's really, really wonderful about your life? And even if you don't know what it is, but those answers are going to come, just asking the positive question, not what's wrong with my life, you know, why can't I get this right, you know, the things that we, you know, we know those old tapes that are so easy to play, and that things are really strong.
And when you receive messages like that, the message I got is divine love is yours.
Oh.
And you know, you receive a message like that, and you think, oh yeah, right.
Yeah. So what else?
I think they don't get tired of telling it.
Okay, what's that?
Not easy to get through that barrier.
It's been well fortified.
But. Dead silence, and almost like a deep, dreamless sleep. You know, it was just so quiet. And then I know you came back and said, now, what about your life purpose or something? And then I was like, what was I supposed to be asking before? Because it was just so nothing.
Sure.
But a good
thing.
These are all possible. Profound, that's sometimes
beautiful.
People for meditation, the goal is to be in that place, just to be.
Yeah.
Observant, present to a higher awareness.
And that's so
the
master.
Yeah. And Linda's comment about asking the questions is that famous quote by Rainer Maria Rilke, the German poet, that you first start off asking questions, which is partly what we're doing here today. And then if you do that, you're going to eventually start living the answers.
Yeah, so it's really important to ask good questions.
Yeah.
I'll share mine too. It's what about being a spiritual coach? The goal is to lead a soul-based life, so you should have goals that are reflective of your soul. Life purpose, I asked about that, to light the way for yourself and others.
We're going to talk next about dreams. You want me to share my dream first? Because this kind of bridges the whole between them.
To conclude part one of becoming your own spiritual coach, I wanted to sum up some things and make a few recommendations for you. If you do want to become your own spiritual coach, you do need to make it a priority. And as we said, becoming your own spiritual coach is a lot of fun. And we think well worth it, because it includes connecting with your soul regularly, discovering and living your life purpose, clearing blocks that are in the way of that. And you get a sense of the big picture, which includes all the synchronicity that we daily receive if we pay attention to it, so we get the feedback regularly. So for Soul Center, we mentioned there's an article, a free article, in our getthru.org website, called Remembering the Soul. This article's in the newsletter archives, Remembering the Soul. And we do recommend that soul centering regularly, and if you do prioritize it, your life will transform synchronously and magically, as we discussed. You may have other ways to do this too. For discovering your life purpose and living that, we suggest our recent book, Manifesting Your Dreams with EFT, SK, and More, where there's a step-by-step program that's easy to follow on manifesting, as well as clearing blocks. As for clearing blocks also, we have numerous books and CDs, DVDs on that, discussing how to do EFT and spiritual kinesiology. And we offer phone sessions too, which can save you a lot of time and energy. An often overlooked part of creating a joyous, fulfilled life is having a support system. And like the class that we had that you're listening to in this audio, it really helps to be with like-minded people. It makes things a lot easier, especially if you can do it regularly, and your success can increase exponentially. And to help mastermind your goals and dreams with a partner or partners, see our website, masterspirit.org. At masterspirit.org, it's created actually to help people live a synchronous, wonderful life with mutually supportive relationships. Just remember where you want to go, where you want to be. And if you are stuck or you wish to take your life to the next level, you need to do something different to get different results. So all of the resources I mentioned, the books, CDs, DVDs, Master Spirit groups, we also have classes, live classes and teleclasses and home study classes, many things, are resources we've developed over the years devoted to helping people grow spiritually and create a fabulously joyous life. Some roadmaps there for you. Feel free to check them out or give us a call at 805-931-0129. 805-931-0129. In part two of this audio about becoming your spiritual coach, we're going to explore how your dreams can be updates from your higher self and how to use oracles to confirm your soul's guidance and enhance your understanding. So this is Dr. Philip Montrose with Dr. Jane Montrose saying goodbye until part two.